Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
He says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back. Got the recipe for life, and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic, from sex style to gossip. Listen and to hear what Max is dishing. LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to another Sunday night of Max and Friends. I'm glad you're here tonight because, you know, growing up as a child, I'm sure that all of you who are into cartoons and Looney Tunes know what's going on with Porky Pig and voiceovers and voice. And Priscilla's got the camera on me. I'm going to have to throw it out the window in a minute. We got a fun show tonight. I'll put the mic up in a minute. We've got a great guest tonight in the studio. Bob Bergen is here, and he is currently nominated for a Daytime Emmy for Outstanding Performer in an Animated Program for Porky Pig in Wabbit, a Looney Tunes production cartoon network. Bob is one of the most successful animation voiceover artists for our generation. In addition to being the voice of Porky Pig, you know, I was corrected. I said, Porky the Pig. It's just Porky Pig, y'all. Porky Pig. For 29 years, he is the voice of Tweety Bird, Marvin the Martian, Speedy Gonzalez, Luke Skywalker, and many more famous cartoon characters. So we're going to get into it because I don't like to read things. I like to just talk to the person that's here in the studio. And so not only is Bob here tonight, but also y'all know Question Reality with Priscilla. Well, Priscilla's in the studio tonight. She's going to help me hold down the fort for the next 45 minutes or so of Max and Friends. There's your mic.
I can't hear it.
There you go.
You're the friends.
You're the friends.
We're friends. We're friends.
Okay, gotcha.
Whether you like it or not, we're doing friends.
Tonight I'm friends.
Facebook, Instagram, hit me up, Bob.
Absolutely.
We got to hit each other up.
There you go.
Absolutely.
He mentioned that you did the voice for Star Wars.
I did. I've done Luke Skywalker for a lot of Star Wars games and cartoons for the last 20-something years.
See?
Oh, isn't that impressive?
Isn't that?
I was friends with the R2-D2 guy. He died.
Yes, he did.
Anthony.
Yes.
But
yes.
R2-D2 lives on forever.
That's right.
Exactly.
Right?
But so I'm glad you're here, Priscilla. It's the first time around Max and Friends.
Oh my gosh. I know. I had you on my show.
11
and it
years
was a
you're
blast.
Here.
So that wasn't Priscilla and Friends?
No. Priscilla Leona. I have a show at 5 on Sunny called Question Reality.
Is it about reality television?
No. We have Grammy winners, Emmy winners, Tony Award winners.
Currently nominated Daytime Emmy winners.
If I win?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You have to come back here, too.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Right. But you know what? Tonight we're going to talk about voiceovers because it's something that I think is so great. And it's an amazing career for those who get into it. Mm. How many years are you in this?
In the business? Like for money? Almost 37 years.
I
guess.
Wow. Okay. So
or longer?
So what made you want to get into this industry?
Well, I wanted to be Porky Pig when I was 5.
Was that how it happened?
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
I know, right? And my mom said,
I've assumed the shape. Well, I love it.
My mom said, you can't be Porky Pig, you're Jewish.
Did she say that?
She did. And I didn't quite understand what that meant, because we were the kind of Jews with a menorah next to a Christmas tree. So, you know, I just like, what does that have to do with anything?
What does it have to do
with anything? Pass me the BLT. I want to be Porky Pig.
Yeah.
So, but we also lived in the Midwest, and there's not a lot of call for being Porky Pig or doing any voiceover work in the Midwest. But my dad took a job in LA when I was 14.
Oh.
And just moved the family here. Not for me to be Porky Pig.
No, but for your destiny to be Porky Pig.
Well, it just sort of worked out in my favor, so I just pursued it. So
that's amazing.
And I just pursued the business.
So isn't that the best to actually, when it rises up to meet you, like you want it to be it, your father moves here, and it happened.
I would have gotten myself here.
You would have.
Had that not happened, but it was convenient.
Right.
There's a camera on me right now. Hello, people on Facebook Live. How are you?
So many jobs over here.
I would have shaved if I knew this was going to happen.
You're gorgeous. My publicist says
radio. So I didn't shave.
No. It's totally radio. And that's why, like, Priscilla with the camera. Max and Friends is not on camera.
This is not Priscilla's hair.
Let's talk about the industry because it's one that so many people want to get into, but not so many people succeed at. Why is that?
Because they're looking for the most brilliant actors on the planet.
Is that the simplicity of it?
Sure. It's like so many people want to be on Broadway, but most people don't get on Broadway. Why? Because the cream floats to the top. And the same goes for sculpting and dancing and anything in the arts.
Right.
That they're looking for brilliant talent every day. That's why they hold auditions every day.
Gotcha.
But, you know, you never know until you try.
Right. So what advice do you give people to try?
Study acting. become the world's greatest actor and study improv and then study voiceover. But there are different genres of voiceover.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I do the only genre I don't. Hi, Priscilla.
Hi,
I just feel like I'm ignoring
you. You gotta get that neck working.
I know, right?
I need some
it's like
eye contact.
And I will. Okay, so Max, here's the deal.
Yeah.
So the only genre of voiceover I don't do is audiobooks.
Okay.
Because first of all, I enjoy reading, but the idea of reading a book out loud that I wouldn't read for enjoyment doesn't enjoy.
Doesn't resonate.
And you're paid for the finished edited hour, not the time it takes to do it.
Oh, look at the tips.
So it's just not my thing. But I've got friends that live for it. I've got my friend Scott Brick is a rock star in audiobooks, and he loves it. And I know people that actually buy the book because he's the voice.
Right.
Mm. So that's the thing. I mean, my thing is commercials, promos, narration, animation, games. But there's something for everybody.
What's your favorite voice that you do? Character.
Boogie the Boogie.
Okay. Now, this is like going to make my whole Sunday.
That's my favorite.
Is it why?
That's why I got in the
business. You can keep going as Porky.
Okay. Ever since I was a little piglet, and nursing on my mom's ear today, tutu, and my mom's ear today, tutu, I can't say it.
When I was a kid, I found the comedy in the character.
Right.
I found that there's a pattern to a stutter, and I learned how to do it. And I just found the character so endearing and funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very fortunate that when my voice changed, I was still able to do it.
To do it.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So you were sort of like inspired. I have my little notes here. And I have to say thank you to Turk for having you here tonight. So thank you, Anthony Turk.
Thanks, Anthony.
So you were very inspired by people like Mel Blanc.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us the famous story about how you first met Mel on the phone and then in the studio.
Well, I figured I was I just moved to LA and I figured I'm going to call him.
Just like that.
Yeah. I'm here.
Right. Why not?
And I'll just call him up and just say, listen, I've seen you on TV. You know, you're no spring chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And if nobody's offered you a chance to retire, I'd be more than happy to. Mm-hmm. So I look in the phone book he's not there.
Okay.
And I didn't have a concept of unlisted phone number because when I'm from the Midwest, everybody's in the phone book.
Yeah.
So
white pages.
So my dad says that, you know, LA is much bigger than Cincinnati where we were from.
Mm-hmm.
So he traveled from like Pasadena to Malibu and he went to post offices where you used to get white page phone books.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a stack of white page phone books that my dad had collected just to see if Mel Blanc was in it.
Wow.
So one day my parents were out. I was in their bedroom and in the kitchen down the hall, I had my portable tape recorder and the telephone. And I pushed record and I ran in their bedroom and I called the first Blanc I found. Is this Mel Blanc, the cartoon guy? No. Okay, sorry. Hang up. Go back. Try the tape recorder. And I did that through all the books.
You did your work.
But he wasn't there. And then I thought, I'm going to try under his wife's name, which was Estelle, which I knew because I was kind of a creepy stalker dude.
Okay.
So I called up all the Estelle and E Blancs in the books, found Estelle Blanc at the Pacific Palisades that was his, got him on the phone. Recorded the conversation, which is on my website, which kids don't do that at home. It's illegal to do this. Do not record people without telling them.
You're not allowed
to do that. And during the course of the conversation, he mentioned the name of the studio he was working at that week, but he didn't say the day or the time, just the name of the studio. Mm-hmm. So I hung up from him, called the studio pretending to be his assistant. And I said, hi, I'm just calling to confirm Mr. Blank's appointment for this Thursday at 9. And they said, no, we have him on the books for Wednesday at 11. I went, oh, you're right. I'm looking at the wrong day.
Me too.
Looking at the wrong day.
Devious behavior. I love it.
I call it passionate behavior.
I call it stalking. So
thank you.
So I said to my mom, I'm skipping school on Wednesday and we're going to go watch Mel Blanc at the studio. She said, cool. So we got to the studio and I told the receptionist, hi, we're guests of Mel Blanc. He said we could watch.
Okay.
And she said, well, he's in that booth over there. I said, thank you. We walked into that booth over there and I said to his producer, we're friends of the receptionist. And she said we could watch.
Super.
And I just watched him work.
Isn't that the best?
That is so cool.
That's amazing. Okay. So let's get into, you know what I want to talk about? Let's talk about voiceover teaching because you're also a teacher.
I am.
Okay. So number one, how can people find you if they want to get into this?
Well, here's the deal. My LA class has a 4-year waiting list.
It really does.
It really does. But I, hello.
Hi, that's my husband, Albert.
Albert, how are you, buddy? Nice to meet you.
This is Bob Bergen. He's a voiceover expert.
I was just amazed at a 4-year waiting list.
I'm
sorry. That's amazing.
I'm sorry. But I also, I teach all over the country. Does this go all over the country?
This goes all over the world.
Rock on. Okay. I did a cruise in this past January.
Really?
With a commercial casting director named Mary Lynn Wissner. We're doing another one in a couple of years where we just teach voiceover with a moving ship and alcohol. It's not so bad.
Right. So what voices come out that way?
Yeah. Well, teaching on a moving ship
was, with alcohol.
I did not drink while I was teaching. I drank after I was teaching. But they drank while I was teaching. No, it was a lot of fun. My LA class, look, you can find me, Bergen.Bob on Instagram, at Bob Bergen on Twitter,
right.
Website. I say to people, get on the wait list. I mean, mm-hmm. I just filled my class for April, and I had to go through over 100 names to find eight who are available.
I was going
to
ask you that. I was going to say, so when you're on this cruise, how many people are on this cruise with you?
Oh, this for the cruise?
Yeah.
I only took 40 students.
Okay. So of those 40,
yeah.
Like, do you have the ear to say that one's going to be successful?
Yeah, but I would never tell them that.
No, but you do know who it is.
I can tell within 4 seconds. You can tell 4 seconds of a singer on American Idol. You can tell 4 seconds
right.
of a dancer yeah. doing ballet. Mm-hmm. Talent is something that when it's brilliant, it's a smack in the face. And when it sucks, it's a smack in the face.
I agree.
A punch in the face when
sure.
it sucks.
Well, but the bottom line throat. The bottom line is we know what, yeah. what is what the it factor. You know
right,
it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I love it. So you've worked on a ton of big animation films.
Yes.
Like what?
Like, we're going to ask him what his favorite is.
Oh, okay.
My favorite animated feature that I've worked yeah. on? Oh, my goodness.
Isn't favorite such like a...
It's a tough yeah. one.
It's a tough one.
It's a tough one. I will tell you...
Your top three.
Okay, I can tell you my top one, but it's a character that is such a small character in a film that made people... Did you ever see The Emperor's New Groove?
Of course.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
You haven't?
You haven't. Okay.
You didn't come prepared.
So you know the little squirrel? You know the little squirrel, Bucky?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, that's me.
That's you.
That's me. Can I tell you how I got that?
How?
Okay. So when you work a lot for a lot of companies and, mm-hmm. and you're reliable, they don't necessarily audition you. They just say, hey, you're working on Thursday
right.
at Disney or you're working for Pixar or whatever. And I was told to go to Disney. I'm working on a picture
mm-hmm.
and I'm playing a squirrel.
Okay.
I say, well, great. I get to the studio and the producer or the director, his name was Mark Dindal. He says to me, all right, so Patrick Warburton plays this character named Kronk.
Okay.
And he speaks squirrel. So he'll say to you, squeak, squeak, and squeak, squeak, and you'll speak squirrel, and he'll translate. And I said, do you want me to say squeak, squeak, and squeak, squeak? And he said, no, you got to create your own language. I said, oh, okay.
Ooh. Did you create it on spot?
Well, I said, can I go outside and think about it for a second?
He said,
sure. Yeah. Well, okay. So I'm sitting on a park bench at Disney.
Hopefully see a squirrel.
I swear to you, this is true. Mm. A little squirrel climbs down a tree, comes up to me on its hind legs, looks at me, and he goes, I went, thank you. I walked into the studio and went, say squeak, squeak, and squeak, squeak.
Say squeak, squeak, and squeak, squeak.
He was, the director goes, that'll work.
That works.
That's yeah. amazing.
Now you translate it, Priscilla.
That's the same thing that happened to my friend. She was a little girl, and she's the voice of Anna as a child on Frozen.
Okay.
Same exact story.
A squirrel or a frozen child?
No. They just said, you're this character.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're a frozen child.
Yeah, you're frozen.
Well, you know, the thing is, if you're reliable and you're mm-hmm. nice goes a long way in this business, and you're on time, you know, they'll just say, you know, and they've rarely... like thrown me. I remember I did a Beauty and the Beast sequel, like Beauty and the Beast, The Enchanted Christmas, something straight to video or something. And I didn't know what I was going to be there for. And they said, we need you to do a distressed horse.
Wow. A distressed horse.
And I said, why is he distressed?
What?
Well, it's been raining and he's stuck in the mud.
That's a different sound.
Familiar, yeah.
Well, okay. So, you know, on the spot, I created a distressed horse.
And what did it sound like?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh my God, that's so cool!
Which I try it. What is it?
It clears your sinuses.
What does a distressed horse sound like from Priscilla?
I can't even do a distressed horse.
When you say you can't, you can't. Go.
It's in. It's in. It's in. In. In.
Wow.
Can I do it?
That's good. That's kind of pterodactyl.
That's right. I like it.
How about me? How about.
No.
That's an asthmatic horse.
No.
Now, are you dishonest with your students?
Yes. I am extremely... Here's the deal. I'm very nurturing with my students.
Right.
I think a really good teacher pushes them beyond their comfort zone mm-hmm. without making them feel afraid to try again.
Right.
So I would never say, oh my God, that's...
You suck.
You suck. Right. No, never. I've had those teachers and I crawl in the fetal position and rock.
Well, yeah. Well, listen, always here on Max and Friends, there's always... the commonality that everyone has is, do you hear me? Do you see me? Do I matter?
Right.
And the minute you like tell someone they suck, they feel like they're not heard, they don't matter, and that they're
right.
like irrelevant and they shouldn't even be there.
Right.
Encouragement that goes a long way.
I think in a class that by virtue of just trying...
Encouragement too.
Well, yeah. By virtue of trying, you're being vulnerable.
Yes.
And that takes a lot of... skill
mm-hmm.
and it takes an audience to appreciate it and a teacher to say, okay, here's where you are. I want to get you here. And it's my job to go, how do I go from here to here?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I do.
So speaking of, for those who are listening tonight who want to get into this business,
yes,
What do you tell them?
I tell them to study acting and improv first,
right,
and then study voiceover. I'll tell you what my journey was.
Okay.
I was in voiceover classes for 4 years with anybody that offered a class.
Okay.
I mean, anybody that offered a class, I studied.
Mm-hmm.
Back when I was studying voiceover and I was 14 when I took my first class, they wouldn't hire you if you were under 18. They do now, mm-hmm. but they wouldn't back then. I was in an acting conservatory for 2 years and I studied improv for 3. And then I was ready for my first demo and secured my first agent. So it's not something I do funny voices. I'll buy a $200 microphone and I'm ready to go. There's a billion of those. And there's a few people who say, no, I'm going the distance and I will do whatever it takes to be a success in this business. But you got to start with acting.
So what's a tip do you give them for voice, specifically voice? What's something that they can listen to tonight and say, I can work on this for my voiceover?
Well, the thing is, if you're looking to practice characters, there are 3 scripts used in an animated cartoon. One is called the writer's script, which looks like any script you'd see for a TV show or movie. One is called the dialogue script, which literally just has the dialogue, which we often see at recording sessions. And the other is called storyboard. And the storyboard is the cartoon where each scene is represented by a panel drawing. Well, it's basically like a comic book. So I tell people, look, if you want to practice character voices, buy comics and give voices to the script.
See?
That makes sense.
I love that. That is a good tip.
For commercials, magazines, print ads.
What about children? I have a friend whose child apparently does a lot of great voices, and he said that she wants to get into voiceovers, but she is in a location in Baltimore, Maryland, which, as you know, is not.
Well, there's
not a lot of work.
There's voiceover everywhere.
What would you recommend for kids?
There is voiceover everywhere.
There's voiceover everywhere. There's not animation everywhere.
Okay.
If you want to do animation at this moment in history, you do have to live here.
Yeah.
Because they want you to be at 9 o'clock to be in the studio at 10. Yeah. Commercial voiceover, everywhere.
So if you don't live in the major markets like my friend AJ's daughter, what would you recommend? How would she get into the business?
Move to LA.
With,
Well, does she want to do... Specifically animation?
See, there's so many. I didn't know this until I started doing research for him, but apparently there is all types of voiceover. There's animation, there's commercial, there's promo, there's so many. And
e-learning.
The competition is very fierce because you've got children, you've got adults that can do children's voices, and they're all competing. Adults are competing with children.
Sometimes.
Is that true?
Sometimes. I mean, if they want the authentic sound, you can't you know what happens? Life experience takes away the ability to sound like a child.
Say that again, because that's important.
Life experience. Yeah. I mean, I've got some friends, my friend Debbie Derryberry, Mona Marshall. I've got friends who do great kids' voices, and they do kids all the time. But when you take a child who's like 7, 9, 10 years old, who hasn't experienced the life of an adult, they're going to approach those words with an innocence and a speech pattern that we forgot how to do.
The inner child.
Yeah. And now there's some actors. Mona Marshall did a movie called, I think it was called Fanny and Alexander, and she dubbed it. It's an Ingmar Bergman film. And I didn't know that Alexander was not a little boy. And and she did such an amazing job because she, and Debbie too, they have that ability, that natural ability to recreate that innocence of a child. But man, back when I was starting out, they wouldn't hire you if you were a child unless it was a Peanuts special.
Right.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the Peanuts specials, the producer would sit across from the actors, from the children, and he would say, just repeat after me. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Wow.
That's why the characters sounded like this. They sounded like they were repeating or they were reading. And that was a style that they established for those characters because that's what they wanted for those characters.
My friend Jim Meskimen, he's the...
I know Jim.
Do you know Jim?
I do know Jim.
Oh my God, yeah, we're such great friends.
Yeah.
One of his very dear friends is the lady who does the voice for Bart Simpson.
That's Nancy. I know Nancy very well.
Nancy Cartwright.
Nancy and I studied with Dawes Butler together.
And over 10 years. She was an adult and she was doing that voice.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And Tom Kenny does SpongeBob. And
yes.
Yeah. I do babies. I do a lot of babies.
Oh, do you? Let's hear a baby voice.
Oh. Isn't that
That is so scary.
I can do birth to 6 months and then I jump to 16 or 17.
Birth to 6 months. You know, I wanted to ask you, when you're doing voiceovers, mm-hmm. are you generally in a studio with a bunch of people, or is it just you?
Depends on what you're doing.
It does.
So if you're doing episodic cartoons, mm-hmm. which means TV.
Yeah, how does it all work?
They'll have as many cast members as possible at the session because acting is reacting.
Right.
When you do an animated feature, 9 out of 10 times you're by yourself. Mm-hmm. So I've never been in a studio with Patrick Warburton doing these two characters, mm-hmm. but we've done a feature, a sequel, and 3 years on a series, and we've never actually physically worked together.
Wow.
In fact, I met him for the first time at the Annie Awards a few mm-hmm. years ago. We were presenting together, and I said, I played Bucky in Emperor's New Groove, and he said to me, well, I thought Bucky was a sound effect. And I said,
wow. Is that
a
compliment?
I don't think so. I don't think so. No,
I don't either.
No, I said, dude,
I would think that means perfection.
It's in the credits, and Bergen is up here, and Warburton is down here, and there's a lot of names in between. Read the credits.
Wow. But I would think that was a credit because they work really hard on getting those sounds perfected. So I would think it would be.
And when you do a feature, you might do, I mean, I worked on one this week. You might do that one line for 3 hours.
Yeah.
For 3 hours.
I just posted on both Instagram and Twitter an interview with Tom Hanks talking about what it was like to do Toy Story. He says, because you work for 4 hours and you pull you strain your abdomen and you're screaming and you look in the booth and you see these producers just talking in there. Right. You can't hear them because they're not pushing the talk back button and they look so, oh God, disappointed and mm-hmm. is George Clooney possibly available for this character? But that's, unless they push the talk back, you think, oh my right. gosh, they're calling William Morris for a better actor.
Right.
They're it's probably scary. Talking about, was the sushi bad for you at lunch today too?
Oh, but that is something you just said. That is actually a perk, how you said that you worked with this gentleman for so many projects and yet never even met him. That actually can be considered a perk of the job because you can actually go in, you're by yourself, you do your thing, you leave. I heard someone got paid like thousands of dollars for 45 minutes. So that is a career. Everybody wants to be the star, Bob, right? They want to be on the red carpet. They want to be known. But being a voiceover actor is a very lucrative career. So I wish that job would be promoted more.
Well,
talk about the perks of that job.
Absolutely.
To me, and it's so funny, my publicist is hearing this, but I can go to a restaurant or a restroom and nobody watches or follows.
Isn't that is the
See,
perk.
That's a perk.
Unless it's San Diego Comic-Con, and then for 4 days,
they know
you're the Beatles.
But now let me ask you a question, follow-up question. Mm-hmm. Have you ever called a restaurant as Porky the Pig and made a reservation?
No, but I'll tell you a quick story kind of like that, and I've told this before. Right after 9/11, mm-hmm. a bunch of friends, like at midnight, like 3 days after 9/11, we went to Krispy Kreme. It was like midnight, we're hungry, and I get to the drive-thru, and this lady says, may I take your order? And I said, oh, give us a few minutes. We're not ready yet. And this male voice came on and said, let me know when you're ready. And I said, oh, you changed your voice. And then she came back and she said, yes, I did. Now you change yours.
Get out.
And I looked at my friends and I ordered a dozen glazed donuts like Porky Pig.
So how does that go?
Can I have a dozen glazed donuts, please?
And then there was a long pause and she said, please pull forward to the next window. And I get to the next window. And she hands me 3 dozen donuts. And I said, I think you misunderstood what I said. And she said, no, we heard exactly what you said. We have not laughed since 9/11.
What a good story.
They are on the house. Have a nice night.
Wow.
And then I turned to my friends and I said, tomorrow we're going to a Porsche dealer.
Yes. Right. See what we can get.
Right?
Now, how would Tweety Bird order a Porsche?
Ooh, I thought I tore with the Porsche. I did tear with the Porsche.
What color was that Porsche?
It was white, yellow, white meat.
A yellow Porsche? That's a good Porsche.
It was
have
yellow,
a
white
Porsche.
Meat with wee white twins.
Wow.
I can listen to this all. You don't even know what this is doing to my inner wow. child. I am like literally
dancing
inside.
I'll tell you a secret, though.
Please do.
So when I went to watch Mel Blanc work, he was doing Tweety.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't as good as I remembered. And they played it back and it was great. Yeah. And I said to the producer, what did you do in the playback? And she said, we sped him up 10%. Oh, I wow. said, because of his age and his smoking? And she said, she said, no, half of his characters are sped up electronically.
Whoa.
So my Tweety is sped up about 10%. If you listen to, if you slow down Daffy Duck, you mm-hmm. hear Sylvester. Because Daffy Duck
really?
And Sylvester sped up.
Oh.
I know.
And so wow. how does Sylvester sound?
I don't do Sylvester. I mean, I can't. Sylvester is like this. He's like a big floppy bird.
Right.
Rather, he goes after a little bird. And you speed him up, he becomes Daffy Duck.
There you go.
Wow. I mean, it seems like it Priscilla. Takes milliseconds to process and for you to be able to
get into
to
character.
Do the characters. That's amazing.
It's what I do. You know, I will look at a brilliant sculptor or painter or listen to somebody who sings opera, and I'm like, man, how do you do that? Because that's what they were born with. I think you're born with talent.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think what class does is it teaches you technique to reproduce your talent at will.
Right.
But when you do television cartoons, you're hired for scale. For those of you who don't know what scale means, it's the minimum they have to pay you as per Screen Actors Guild. When they hire you for scale, they get you for two voices. So you might have a two-way conversation with yourself. My record was 7. I one time had a 7-way conversation with myself.
Wow.
I love that.
I have an aunt that does that every day.
You're not schizophrenic at all, Bob.
But for scale plus 10, I will be.
Of course, right? Well, you know, speaking of being born, I remember my notes, you were born with a handicap. You only have one foot.
I do indeed.
And how did that shape your life? Priscilla's looking under the table.
I got two, and they don't work right? well.
You know, to be honest with you, it taught me empathy.
Mm-hmm.
The bullying is a big thing right now.
Yeah,
I was bullied.
I can imagine.
I wouldn't change it for a thing.
Yeah,
I relish it actually because it taught me how to treat people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our anti-bullying thing, although bullying is never a good thing, we're going the wrong way.
Mm.
What we need to do is to teach kids bullying is normal. It is it is normal for children to find somebody different to pick on because they're just insecure themselves and looking to be accepted.
That's right.
That doesn't mean that as a parent you don't teach your kids don't bully.
Right.
But what it does do is it teaches empathy.
That's right.
It teaches character.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, kids are now seeing, we're really shifting gears here, but kids are committing suicide and doing dreadful things because they're being bullied because society's telling them that's an outlet.
Yep.
And it was never an outlet when I was a kid because nobody talked or did it.
Right.
Now it's an excuse to escape it rather than thick skin. That's what it is. Go back to school with a smile on your face.
Mm-hmm.
Be the class clown. Mm-hmm. Ignore it. And you know what? We choose to be offended. We choose to have our feelings hurt.
That is so
true. We choose to react to it. It doesn't mean it's the right thing to do, but how we react is our personal choice.
That's right.
And I'm sorry. It made me a better person.
It did. You know, my grandfather came from Lithuania to America and lost a hand. I don't know when it was, but some point in his career at work.
Mm-hmm.
And growing up, it was natural for us to see him, you know, someone with just one hand.
Right.
So for me, it wasn't like, you know, I understood it because that's all I knew.
Right.
Right. Like it didn't make a difference. But let me tell you, when people started saying things about my grandpa, I was going to whoop their ass.
Absolutely. You know, you get protected.
I was like, what are you talking about?
Well, because right now I can't wear my prosthesis because I have a little issue. But I've got people I've known for 20 to 40 years in this business who had no idea I wore a prosthesis.
Wow.
And so they're like, what happened? And I'm like, oh, I wear a prosthesis. I can't wear it right now. No, really, what happened?
You see?
Shark attack in Zuma? I mean, what do you want me to say? What should I say? That's the truth. Why don't I know this? Because it's not a credit and doesn't affect my voice.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
No, it's interesting. You know, even the question here is interesting, but what I love about it is how, you know, that was just really a beautiful inspirational moment for kids who are listening out there who have something that they think like, I can't succeed because
of this. You can do whatever
this.
You want. You know what? My parents made sure that I still went to the public pool. There is no shame. And, you know, they taught me you're never a victim. You are not a victim.
Yeah.
And it made me a
You know what
person.
I always say? You're a victim. First time you're a victim, second time you're a volunteer.
That's right.
I love that.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
The first time you're a victim, second time you're a volunteer. You know, because like you said, get the thick skin.
Right.
It's true.
You know, I agree with that.
Unfortunately,
the whole thing.
I came from an Irish English background,
right?
And we had a big old bully because I was advanced. I was in the third grade, but I got advanced to the sixth grade.
And they pick on you for that.
Oh, yeah, because I was very small. Right. Believe it or not, I was like under 50 pounds at one point. But she would pull everybody's hair when they would go into the library. So the first time she pulled my hair, I went back to my grandmother and I told her. And my grandmother said, if you do not do something, you are going to have that girl pull your hair and you're going to become a victim and you're going to let yourself become a victim. She said, you sucker puncher. Sorry. But, and I did. And unfortunately, I thought I was going to just do a little punch, but the girl fell down the steps and cracked her head on the wall. But I can't tell you that I don't advocate violence, but what I felt was that I was confident after that I stood up for myself. So that's where I said, I'll never let anybody bully me
again. Up until fairly recently, that was the
Back
solution.
Then,
all parents and grandparents taught, look, pop him one.
Yeah.
He'll never bother you again.
Right.
And I'm sorry.
You can't
I'm
do
sorry.
That now.
I disagree. I think we need to go back to that. It's called common sense, people.
Yeah.
And political correctness isn't always the right
That's
thing.
That's right. That's right.
You know?
Because
there is right and wrong.
Yeah. And I know I
and
was
standing
so
up for yourself.
Scared.
Sure.
Because she was so big. But after I popped her, I felt such confidence. And I was like, oh my God, I will never let
well,
anybody
what happened.
Put their hands on
I
me
remember
again.
I was in fourth grade when I got my first prosthesis. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, what I have right now is cosmetic. It looks like a foot, but what I had before, mm-hmm. it had a metal tip.
Mm. And that's good to kick someone right in the nuts.
That could be used.
The first kid that made fun of me, I can remember his name and I can see it. And I kicked him right in the center of his
nuts.
His boyhood.
Yeah. Right in the nuggets.
Yeah, and nobody ever bothered me again.
You see? There you go. Hold on, we're gonna come right back. You're listening to Max Tucci. I'm Max and Friends right here on LA Talk Radio. LA Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back. We've got so many characters in this studio here tonight. My guest tonight, Bob Bergen, is here, and we're talking about so many voices and an amazing history.
The voices and testicles, all voices, in the same conversation.
Right, yes. And bullying and potty. And then we've got Priscilla here from Question Reality and her phone that's on because she loves her Facebook Live. But, you know, I want to go back. We were talking about Friends, and this is obviously Max and Friends, and you were good friends with the legendary June.
Foray,
who recently passed. June Foray.
Oh, okay, yeah.
June was Rocky the Flying Squirrel, Natasha
Boris,
Granny,
So what was she like as a person?
A blast.
I can imagine.
I met June when I was 14. Mm-hmm. I met Dawes on the same day, Dawes Butler. Mm-hmm. And she was just a hoot and holler. She basically took me by the hand. And you know, we were neighbors. I did my very first Looney Tunes job with her. Mm-hmm. I was doing Porky and Tweety, and she was doing Granny. And it was just so awesome and so cool. And, you know, she was a party animal. She would go to recording sessions dressed like she was going out for the evening because that's what you did. She comes from radio. Mm-hmm. So in the old days of radio, which had a live audience, you dressed up. And she always dressed up. And as she got older, and she was still driving, I think, well into her 80s, and she would say to me, call me up, and she'd say, oh, Bob, you know that they've narrowed Topanga Canyon. I said, they narrowed Topanga Canyon? Oh, yeah, it was much wider when I was younger. My car almost went over the edge. I said, well, I think it's time to stop driving.
What kind of car was she driving?
She used to drive these giant, you know, boats.
I can imagine.
You know, she was about 2'3".
Oh,
and I'm being facetious.
Right,
but she was
so
tiny.
Tall.
And, you know, the old lady with the steering wheel over her forehead. But she was a brilliant actor, and she was an advocate for actors. She taught. I think she taught at USC. Mm-hmm. She taught voiceover.
You know, here's the thing, what I love about Hollywood. I mean, I'm born in New York, born and raised in New York. There's this vibe in Hollywood in LA that's so cool that New York can't touch. You know, it was like, New York is the best city. I was born there. I love New York. But there's that special thing, like that story about Topanga Canyon and the actresses driving in their car. You know, it just makes life, like, you close your eyes, you fantasize about what the Hollywood Hills are like or something. You know?
Well, June tells us.
I love it.
She tells a story. She was Rocky on Bullwinkle.
Right.
And I'm going to get the story a little bit wrong, but the gist of it is that the producer of the Rocky Bullwinkle show, Jay Ward, mm-hmm. took her out for lunch. And he ordered martinis, and she said, oh, Mr. Ward, I don't drink during lunch. Well, she did, but she said that.
Who doesn't?
And after a few martinis, she calls her agent, and she was a little tipsy, and she said, so I understand, I think it's about a talking moose and squirrel, and it's kind of a parody on the Cold War, and they want me to play the squirrel. And the agent said, June, have you been drinking? No, really, that is the show. I think that's the show.
Oh, and it was the show.
Exactly.
And a successful one.
Yeah.
So, you know, tell us a little bit about your duties as governor at the Television Academy.
So every discipline in television mm-hmm. at the Academy has two governors,
right.
Directors, writers, choreographers, etc. And I co-govern the performers, the actors, which I've been doing for about 7 years off and on. I had a mm-hmm. 1 year off in between. My co-governor right now is an actress named Patrika Darbo.
Mm-hmm. She'll be on the show.
Cool. Awesome. And before that, it was Lily Tomlin for 5 years.
How was it working with Lily?
The best. Lily was terrific. I'd known Lily for a long time. Mm-hmm. She was on the committee, the executive committee with me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we were familiar with working at the TV Academy. And she's a friend. I'd known Lily for a very long time. Mm-hmm. So, she was a blast to work with.
Do you watch Frankie and Gracie?
Oh, Grace and Frankie? I absolutely do.
There goes my mind. Frankie and Gracie, Gracie Frankie.
And I'm sitting here here thinking, what? I've never heard of that position. What does that entail?
You see, I was going to say, what, it does a lot on behalf of television.
So the actors. The governors are basically, so each peer group has Emmys, Emmy rules. I mean, there are rules for each category of Emmys.
Right.
And we might look at it and go, this category needs some adjusting this year.
Mm-hmm.
Or we have networking, marketing activities for our peer group. We just did one for our peer group called, I called it Get Whipped Into Submission, to educate them on what it's like and what you need to do to submit for Emmy consideration, because there are rules. You know, that has to be on between this month and this month. And for guest stars, it has to be less than 50% of the episode. So I really just try to educate them on, so if you did a guest shot, you have to be in less than 50% of the season. If over 50%, you are supporting or lead. So
you see?
Yeah, so our job is basically, we are the liaison between our peers. Mm-hmm. There's about 2,500 actors and the board.
Whoa.
And but every, there's like 30, 33 peer groups. And everybody has their own agenda. You know, we have a brand new, relatively new peer group for choreographers, which you think they've been dancing on TV since the 40s. But then for the first time, they have a peer group and governors representing dancers and choreographers.
I love your face because you've learned something here tonight on Max and Friends.
That's what my show is all about. My show is about tips, advice, and resource information for people who are pursuing a career in show business. So when I hear of a job that I've never heard of, and I've been doing this for a long
time. Here's the thing that you may not know that a lot of people don't know. If you're an actor in Los Angeles, and if you've got 8 credits, principal parts in television, and it can be everything from comedy to drama, to hosting, to voiceover, at least 4 of them have to be on traditional broadcast, which is ABC, NBC, Netflix, CBS All Access. 4 of them can be short form.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have 8 credits, you can join the Television Academy.
What?
And
does that have to be starring, co-starring?
Mm-mm. Credits. It has to be any credit? Can't be an extra. It has to be a principal part.
Right.
Principal part.
Hosts, if you've hosted things on camera. But here's the deal. It is cheaper to join the Television Academy than it is to submit for Emmy consideration if you're not a member. And members get 2 free Emmy submissions a year.
So how does that work?
You go, if people want to email me, bob@bobregan.com, mm-hmm. if you think that you qualify to join the TV Academy.
So how does it, all right, for instance, for hosting, because I have a lot of guests that come on that host. How many shows do you have to host?
8.
8 shows.
On nationally distributed. It can't be
nationally,
like, you know.
Right,
you
can't, you, right, right.
If you've hosted like a web series, mm-hmm. they'll take 4 of those.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but voiceover, if you've done...
Wait, so going back to web series, how does that, like, for me, I don't understand. Like, you know, there's always like this 50 Shades of Grey with web series.
Right.
Yeah.
Why are they accepting web series? Because is that the direction we're going?
It's a relatively new thing for the TV Academy. Yeah. I think this is the 4th year mm-hmm. they've been doing
fourth
that.
4th year already?
Yeah, so we have, I think, 5 categories. We've got comedy, drama, actor, actress, and I believe variety, reality. Those are those 5 categories right now. Now, eventually, of course, we're going to have makeup and director and music because these shows don't produce themselves.
Right.
But this is what, I mean, look, I'm going to pull it out right now. There's nothing personal. But
because you have celebrities that are doing a web series.
This is a television set.
Right.
I can pull up right now NBC. I can pull up HBO.
Yeah. That's right.
And CNN,
I can pull up a series on YouTube.
Right.
Yeah.
So it took many, many, many years for the powers that be to go, we've got to start recognizing this.
Right.
But the bottom line is, there's a Grey's Anatomy web mm-hmm. series, there's a Walking Dead web series, and there's some brilliant independent web series.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we have to start recognizing this as content because, let's be honest, people don't watch TV in real time anymore.
That's right.
And some of the best television on the air right mm-hmm. now is on streaming and cable.
Right.
Yeah. And it's also boosted this. The networks have never had better content
than
today because they've been challenged by, in my opinion,
mm-hmm. that's right,
by the streaming and cable.
Felicia Day was mm-hmm. one of the very first people to have a web series. She, from that little web series, she ended up, she is considered a cult hero now on Supernatural.
Right.
She's been on there. And web series don't get enough credits.
Well,
I really think they need to.
Yeah.
They get a lot of views, but the bottom line is television has never been better. We are in such a golden age of TV right now with just the amount of content and honoring excellence for the Emmys. It's a busy job
because
there's a lot of stuff to
consider.
So, you
know, when there's things like eHow.com and mm-hmm. about.com and there's people going on there and, you know, like, they'll do segments and they'll do like 50 or 60 segments on how to prepare something or do something.
Well, if it's a reality thing, it doesn't qualify.
It doesn't qualify.
You can't portray yourself.
Got you.
Doing something like that, because also we don't recognize hosts right now for streaming.
Not even if they have because a lot of people, I think you had a guest on your show, mm-hmm. but there are a lot of people.
Are you saying for Emmy yeah. consideration or yeah. for membership?
For Emmy consideration.
We don't have hosts yet for short form. Mm-hmm. We have actor and actress mm-hmm. for comedy and drama.
Okay.
But eventually, of course we're going to.
What about, there are so many actors who have web series that they're airing on YouTube.
Yeah.
That's a series.
That's a series.
Would Incredible. Be considered.
Now,
legit.
I don't have the rule book in front of me, so it has to be right. X number of minutes, X number of episodes to qualify for a series or to qualify for
this is a whole show find? Just on
yeah,
this.
Yeah. Exactly. Where yeah. would you go to find out the rules and regulations?
The Television Academy website has all those rules.
That is a whole show. You yeah. need it, to.
You more than welcome to.
I'm going
to
have a show.
I think you both should.
I'm bringing you on my show to talk about that subject.
And if you want, I can bring somebody from the TV Academy.
Yeah, we'll all do that.
Let's do that.
You know what? Speaking of shows, we got to wrap this one up. But here, before we go, tell them about your show real quick and how they can find you, Priscilla.
What? Okay. it's Question Reality Radio Show, and that's questionrealityradioshow.com. And we come on every Sunday at 5.
How long have you been doing this for?
Oh, my God, 11 years.
You too?
Really?
Yeah, but
we're both here
that,
11 years.
I produced a show for 6 years with the same concept. But we've had so many wonderful people come on and answer questions about how to make it, and that's important
it
to
is
me. Jobs, for example, very important to know about jobs that can supplement your income. And mm-hmm. I just want to bring this up. You're going to love this, Max. I just found out that a job that you can do to supplement your income to be a voiceover actor, you can be a professional hugger. Yes, it's a website.
Does Joe Biden
Google
know
it.
This?
Google it. A professional, yes, and he is in line. Professional
He's
hugger and a professional friend. Just Google
a
it. I was
friend.
Blown away.
Really?
They get paid $150 for a 15 minutes, and then
I've been here
now.
11 years as Max
yeah.
and Friends.
Say that now. So, guys,
what,
doing
at what
a
point
voice.
Do you, at what point do you cross the line from I'm a professional hugger to me too?
This guy is in
right.
New York. He's a,
or I'm a
professional
friend.
Hugger, and
but
he's
can your professional can you sleep with your professional friend?
No. They are very...
We call those professional. That's a whole other profession. That's the world's oldest professional friend.
That's right.
Just asking.
But I just said the voiceover, just right. the guy's pursuing a career in New York, and he's a voiceover actor, and he's
Fantastic.
A professional.
I was a tour guide at Universal.
Yeah.
I am a licensed massage therapist, and I was a mall Santa Claus for 5 years.
See that?
Because you gotta eat, you gotta pay your bills.
You see?
Yeah.
And be grateful when you pay them.
There you go.
Yeah.
Don't be stressful when you pay them.
Exactly. That's right.
All right, we gotta wrap this up. But Bob, I'm so glad you're here tonight on Max and Friends.
You guys have the best view.
Now,
I know. This is like, I mean, at this time of year, because in the wintertime, it's like dark, but this is, you guys can't
this
see this, but
good,
the mountains
right?
are in the background.
Yeah.
This is so gorgeous.
I'm gonna show you the mountains.
There we go.
Good view.
This is so cool.
Yeah, we are blessed with this view.
Are they? I don't need
those that. Are the mountains.
Those are the mountains out there.
I'm from the East Coast. I never know what
those
mountains
are the mountains
I'm
out there.
At.
So before we go, will you do me a favor?
Sure.
And when you say you're listening to Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio as Porky the Pig,
you're listening to Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio as a Porky Pig.
And my name, say Priscilla's hot and happening.
And the Priscilla is hot and happening and happening and happening, and we love Priscilla.
And I'm your host, Max Tucci from Max and Friends. Thank you all for tuning in. Before we go, give some people advice that they can take with them into this week.
Some advice?
Inspirational.
Non-sexual.
Oh. Oh, Priscilla. Advice that you can take with you this week. Follow your gut.
There you go.
Common Priscilla, sense. Follow
common
your gut.
Common sense. What do you tell people?
Oh, my God. I say load up on the batteries and get some boy butter. But that's just me. That's
and
just
there's
me.
That's Priscilla.
That's it.
All right.
That's what you're going to hear when you listen to Question Reality.
There you go. And what you're going to hear from me on Max and Friends is I love you all for tuning in. Thanks for joining me tonight here on Max and Friends. Follow me on Twitter @MaxTucci. I see you, I hear you, and you matter. Until next time, good night and good karma.